Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure on this Friday, September 24th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Lauren Sanderlin, and after Lauren reads, we'll have a time where she and I talk together about things of life and faith. Thank you, Lauren, for joining the podcast today.
Thank you all so much for having me today. I'm excited to be here. We're going to start reading in Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son." Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and not daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing, with tears, he could not change what he had done. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word would be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, "I am trembling with fear." But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. To the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven, you have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we, if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, "Once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." The words "once more" indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things. so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Our next reading is from Psalm 119, verses 89 through 104. Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You established the earth and it endures. Your laws endure to this day, for all things serve you. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. Save me, for I am yours. I have sought out your precepts. The wicked are waiting to destroy me, but I will ponder your statutes. To all perfection I see a limit, but your commands are boundless. Oh, how I love your law! I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. Now we will read together Ezekiel 46. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. The gate of the inner court facing east is to be shut on the 6 working days, but on the Sabbath day and on the day of the new moon it is to be opened. The prince is to enter from the outside through the portico of the gateway and stand by the gatepost. The priests are to sacrifice his burnt offering and his fellowship offerings. He is to bow down in worship at the threshold of the gateway and then go out. But the gate will not be shut until evening. On the Sabbaths and new moons, the people of the land are to worship in the presence of the Lord at the entrance of that gateway. The burnt offering the prince brings to the Lord on the Sabbath day is to be 6 male lambs and a ram, all without defect. The grain offering given with the ram is to be an epah. And the grain offering with the lambs is to be as much as he pleases, along with a hin of olive oil for each epah. On the day of the new moon, he is to offer a young bull, 6 lambs, and a ram, all without defect. He is to provide as a grain offering 1 epah with the bull, 1 epah with the ram, and with the lambs as much as he wants to give, along with a hin of oil for each epah. When the prince enters, he is to go in through the portico of the gateway, and he is to come out the same way. When the people of the land come before the Lord at the appointed festivals, whoever enters by the north gate to worship is to go out the south gate, and whoever enters by the south gate is to go out the north gate. No one is to return through the gate by which they entered, but each is to go out the opposite gate. The prince is to be among them, going in when they go in and going out when they go out. At the feasts and the appointed festivals, the grain offering is to be an epah with a bull and an epah with a ram, and with the lambs as much as he pleases, along with a hin of oil for each epah. When the prince provides a freewill offering to the Lord, whether a burnt offering or fellowship offerings, the gate facing east is to be opened for him. he shall offer his burnt offering or his fellowship offerings as he does on the Sabbath day. Then he shall go out, and after he has gone out, the gate will be shut. Every day you are to provide a year-old lamb without defect for a burnt offering to the Lord. Morning by morning you shall provide it. You are also to provide with it, morning by morning, a grain offering, consisting of a sixth of an ephah, with a third of a hin of oil to moisten the flour. The presenting of this grain offering to the Lord is a lasting ordinance. So the lamb and the grain offering with the oil shall be provided morning by morning for a regular burnt offering. This is what the sovereign Lord says. If the prince makes a gift from his inheritance to one of his sons, it will also belong to his descendants. It is to be their property by inheritance. If, however, he makes a gift from his inheritance to one of his servants, the servant may keep it until the year of freedom. Then it will revert to the prince. His inheritance belongs to his sons only. It is theirs. The prince must not take any of the inheritance of the people, driving them off their property. He is to give his sons their inheritance out of his own property, so that not one of my people will be separated from their property. Then the man brought me through the entrance at the side of the gate to the sacred rooms facing north, which belonged to the priests, and showed me a place at the western end. He said to me, "This is the place where the priests are to cook the guilt offering and the sin offering and bake the grain offering, to avoid bringing them into the outer court and consecrating the people." He then brought me to the outer court and led me around to its four corners, and I saw in each corner another court. In the four corners of the outer court were enclosed courts, 40 cubits long and 30 cubits wide. Each of the courts in the four corners was the same size. Around the inside of each of the four courts was a ledge of stone, with places for fire built all around the under the ledge. He said to me, "These are the kitchens where those who minister at the temple are to cook the sacrifices of the people."
Thank you, Lauren, for joining the podcast today. We're so grateful for you reading for us. I want to know a little bit more about you. Tell me about your family. Tell me about where you grew up, all the things that we need to know about you.
So I was born and raised in Houston, Texas, and then I met my husband, Tim, when we were at Auburn in college together. Shortly after college, I moved here to Birmingham, and we got married, and then Tim started working at Mountain Brook Baptist Church, and we have been here ever since. Tim and I recently had a baby. Her name is Livy. She's now almost 6 months old, and she is just the light of our lives. And I have two younger sisters as well. They both went to Auburn. One is still in Auburn. And yeah, my family is still in Texas.
I've always heard people talk about Texas as their homeland and how Texas is so great. Tell me a little bit about Texas. If I were going there, what would I need to see or do?
So Texas is really big. Most of our drives from state to state, most of the time you spend in Texas. I would say if you're going to my hometown of Houston, food is really the thing that you need to do there. We have some wonderful food. Mexican food specifically, you really can't get the Tex-Mex that you can get there here in Birmingham, unfortunately. And that's one of my favorite types of food. So I would say Tex-Mex. And then my favorite part of Texas is the Hill Country. So New Braunfels and Austin and Fredericksburg and those sweet little cities kind of up north of Houston. It's some really pretty hills and some just really fun things to do up there.
Lauren, I want to know about your faith. How did you come to faith in Christ, and tell me about that journey?
So I was immensely blessed to grow up in the family that I did. My parents are believers. They started going to the church that I grew up at before I was even born and have been there ever since. So at 6 years old, along with our children's pastor. I prayed the prayer to accept Jesus into my heart as my Lord and Savior. And I was very thankful for the shepherding that I received at that church, from the children's ministry to the youth ministry. And that is just a huge part of my faith, is all the influences of the amazing people who led me there.
Tell me about a formative moment in your walk with the Lord.
Sure. So I would say in high school, early on, I probably was not doing the things that made it look like I was walking with the Lord. I wasn't making decisions. As many high schoolers go through a journey of finding themselves and learning how to live life as a believer, I definitely wasn't doing anything that made me look like a believer from the outside. And the Lord really convicted me of that. I was serving in our children's ministry, leading worship and games and songs for our first through fourth grade students at the church. And I was getting ready to go to summer camp with them. And the Lord really spoke to me and said, you know, how am I supposed to help these young students form a faith and know what it looks like to live as a Christian in this world unless I'm doing it myself in my daily life? And so that was a really big pivotal moment in my walk with the Lord, where He just really convicted me of starting to look in every aspect of my life like a Christ follower.
Thank you for sharing that. I want to know, do you have some favorite hymns or Christian song?
So one that I always go to as one of my very favorites, Tim and I had this played at our wedding. It's called His Mercy Is More. And it is just a really sweet song that talks about the mercies of the Lord and how we have many sins. And no matter what we do, His mercy is able to redeem us from that.
Now, I want to hear a little bit about your professional career. What do you do professionally and even maybe as a side gig?
So I work for a retirement community in town. I do marketing for them. It's called Kirkwood by the River, and it is a really, really sweet place to work. I love getting to see all of the folks who live there and interact with them. And kind of along with that, so Tim and I sometimes do photography on the side. I get to take photos at Kirkwood for marketing purposes, which is really fun. But we've also photographed friends' weddings. We've done the Spalons family session and some other family and couple sessions. So that's a really fun thing that we get to do together, almost a hobby that's a shared hobby.
Lauren, do you have a favorite passage of scripture that you might share with us?
So actually, it is the Lord's hand that you asked me to read this passage today, because I have from my childhood memorized Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And so that's always been a Bible verse that I've just gone back to in my life when I need some scripture to meditate on. That's always been one of my go-tos. And I am just thankful that this is the one that you asked me to do this morning.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but would you quote it for us so that we could be reminded of what it says?
Yes. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and now he is set down at the right hand of the Lord.
That is so wonderful that you have memorized this verse that you read for us today. I'm wondering, is there someone that you would talk to us about who is in that great cloud of witnesses, who has gone before us in the Lord as an example of faith for you?
I would say my grandfather, who passed away when I was in college. He was such a strong, quiet presence of faith, but he was really a great example of the steadfastness and faithfulness of the Lord. He was always there, even though he wasn't the loudest or the most talkative or the most profound when he spoke. He was just a steadfast presence, a servant. And so that was a really wonderful example and just a blessing to get to be his granddaughter.
Thank you so much for spending this time with us on the podcast. Would you close our time together with prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, God, thank you for Mountain Brook Baptist Church and for the work that you are doing here in these walls, God, in your people who are at this church, God. We are just so thankful to have a place where we can come together as a community of believers and worship you. Lord, I pray that you will bless everyone who is listening, who will listen to this podcast with joy and peace and love. God, I pray that you will just infiltrate their hearts and their lives and just bring them to you, God. We thank you so much for your many blessings that you have given us. And it's in your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.